And what a week in Washington, the first full week of the Trump administration. So much to talk about. We asked Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd to sum it up.
It was just a week ago when President Trump took an oath on two Bibles and told the country change was coming.
This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Later that day, the 45th president made it clear he planned to undo the work of the 44th. Trump sat in the Oval Office with a burst of new golden curtains behind him.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
And signed an executive order to start repealing the Affordable Care Act. But if that's the future, the administration was also looking back.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period.
On Saturday, the new press secretary, Sean Spicer, got combative with reporters without even taking a question at the first White House briefing. And Trump kept up his defense of the inaugural crowd at CIA headquarters.
I looked out. The field was, it looked like a million and a half people. They showed a field where there were practically nobody standing there.
Photographic evidence just doesn't support the president. And we all turned to our dictionaries when Trump counselor Kellyanne Conway coined a new term.
Alternative facts.
To explain why the Trump team offered its own description of the day's events. There were also unsubstantiated claims of voter fraud and more presidential orders on abortion and trade. Plus, a few more to resurrect two of the most controversial construction projects in the country.
Dakota Access Pipeline.
And the Keystone XL.
Something that's been in dispute.
President Obama rejected it in 2015.
We'll see if we can get that pipeline built. A lot of jobs.
But it was a different order that got the world's attention.
Mexico no pagará ningún muro.
Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto said no way Mexico's paying for Trump's border wall. He canceled an upcoming meeting with Trump in Washington yesterday. But the American president said it was his idea, too.
Such a meeting would be fruitless, and I want to go a different route.
Which means there's one less thing to do in week number two. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.
Yeah, but we're going to look at that schedule. Boy, and you can add to this week, Trump's top advisor, Steve Bannon, telling the media to shut up, but then we couldn't have our politics roundtable. So let's do that right now. Bring in Rebecca Cinderbrand, managing editor of The Fix at The Washington Post. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
I'm good. And we can also add thousands in our gathering in D.C. to hear the Vice President, Mike Pence, address the annual March for Life rally in D.C., the anti-abortion march, the first time a sitting vice president will speak at that rally. So what a week. Jesse, you start. How would you rate it for Donald Trump?
Well, it's definitely been a busy week, if nothing else. He's been hanging on to his Twitter account and doing foreign policy on Twitter and signing executive orders. So anyone who thought that Trump was going to slow down with the weight of the presidency on his shoulders should have already figured out by now that that's not going to happen.
And when we watch him, Rebecca, pick a fight with Mexico over who's going to pay for the wall. And by the way, I'm remembering back to the campaign. It wasn't like there was a big groundswell of people saying, well, how are we going to pay for that wall? He came up with the Mexico is going to pay for it on his own. And now that they say that they don't want to do it, he's talking about this 20% border tax. But Michael D'Antonio, who's written about Trump, says he likes fighting with people. This is part of what he likes to do.
I think there's an element of that there. It's also kind of interesting to note, you note about the wall and the way it was used during the campaign. Of course, he actually met with the Mexican leader during the campaign and did not raise the topic of the wall.
Right.
Now he's in the position where he can actually do something about it. It has to be discussed. And it doesn't seem as though he's figured out a way to have those sorts of difficult conversations, for want of a better word. You know, he talked about being a master negotiator. But it seems to be something that he hasn't quite figured out to do when he's not in a position to dictate the terms.
Well, it's one thing, Jesse, to change your mind on something. Presidents are famous for swiveling, completely
right.
Spinning on topics. It's another thing to have perhaps inaccurate information, and that's this unsubstantiated belief that several million, 3 to 5 million people voted illegally in the election. Members of his own party, Republican secretaries of state across the country, have been telling him to back down from this. And this has brought a debate in newsrooms about the word lie. How do you describe Trump's statements when they are completely unsubstantiated. NPR is not using the word lie because lie involves intent and we can't be inside someone's head. That's the reasoning. But I want to start with you, Jesse, at the AP. What are you using?
Well, like you just said, lie involves intent. And it's something we're not mind readers. We don't know what's going on in anyone's head. We can just tell you what the facts are and whether a statement by the facts that we have is right or wrong. And that's what we can do. But we can't delve into what someone's head and what they're thinking and why they're saying it. We can just tell you whether the facts are true or not. And that's what we do.
Rebecca, the Times is using lie. How about the Washington Post? Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's on a case-by-case basis. You have to say there's this huge focus on terminology and on semantics, and it kind of is a little bit reminiscent of the debate and the discussion that was around the use of the words radical Islamic terrorist. It's not as though these are kind of magic words. You want to describe accurately as you can, what it is that's occurring, but the key is to let people know that the information is not correct if it's not correct. And using false is a pretty tough term. Lie, I agree, should only be used in cases where we can actually actively say we know that this person is aware that this information is inaccurate and they are using it anyway. You don't want it to lose its effectiveness. You have a feeling you're going to be pulling it out over the years. There's lots of different words that people can use to describe what it is we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
As Peter pointed out at the top of this segment, so much has happened this week. And I just want to ask about immigration. This is obviously one of Trump's first priorities. And we talked about the border wall. He wants to step up deportations. He wants to increase border detention facilities and the number of border agents. But it does sound, Jesse, like he is backing off a little bit on the dreamers, people who were brought here by their parents illegally and are here. Does it seem to you like the dreamers should not be worried about being deported?
As he says.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I definitely would not rest on my laurels if I was anyone at this point, because this White House seems to be moving back and forth so quickly on so many different topics that you don't actually know exactly what next week will bring. This week they may have gotten a little distracted by the whole border wall with Mexico, or they may have gotten distracted by Steve Bannon. So we don't quite know exactly where things sit with this White House yet, and this is just week one. So if I was, I wouldn't get comfortable if I was anyone quite yet.
Yeah. Well, and let's look at what's happening right now. The annual March for Life happening in D.C. This is the anti-abortion march. Vice President Mike Pence, as we said, speaking the first time a sitting president will do that. He's perhaps the most anti-abortion member of Congress by some calculations. And Kellyanne Conway is going to speak as well. She, of course, the president's spokesperson. Here she was this morning on Fox and Friends.
We just have to look at this as a culture of life. Many presidents and vice presidents have said they were pro-life. They were. But to have Vice President Mike Pence go out on that mall today in just a few short hours and address those who are coming around from the country and indeed the world to bond together to protect the culture of life is truly remarkable and historic.
Of course, this is the week after the Women's March, which was historic in Washington. We'll see how many turn out today. But more important, this comes, Rebecca Cinderbrand, ahead of next week's announcement. According to Donald Trump, on Thursday, he's going to announce his Supreme Court pick. Obviously, it will be somebody, well, maybe not obviously, somebody who wants to overturn Roe v. Wade.
You know, it's been interesting to see, of course, Donald Trump's evolution on this issue over the years. At least at this point, he seems to know he's someone who can read a room. He was speaking to Republicans from the Hill this week, went to their retreat, and he spoke about a lot of issues where they don't quite wind up on the same page. But the loudest and longest applause he got was when he spoke about the Mexico City rule, the language, of course, that traditionally Republican presidents, when they come in, want to make sure that organizations overseas aren't advising people on abortion and so on. That was the issue that really resonated with Republican lawmakers. He knows that. He could sense that. And so on this particular issue, it doesn't hurt him in the slightest politically. If you're just speaking from a purely political perspective, it's something that he knows is a surefire gimme issue for him. And so it's difficult to see him swaying in any way from someone who is acceptable to the majority of the party on this issue.
Well, and obviously that's something he's not going to face pushback from Republicans over. But Jesse, just in the 30 seconds we have left, are they going to push back on him on other things? Because it does seem like they're really falling in line, the Republicans.
Well, one of the things that he has to worry about is this whole border tax for the wall, because traditionally, Republicans have been the anti-tax party.
Right.
And you're going to see people like the National Retail Federation say, wait a minute, you're cutting into business profits. You're raising taxes on the American people. That's going to be a hard sell in Congress.
That's Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press, and Rebecca Cinderbrand, managing editor of The Fix at The Washington Post. So much going on. I think we're going to need to double the length of this segment for next week. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.